Good morning. May the peace of God and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all this morning. Amen. I want to extend a hearty welcome to each and every one of you that have tuned in. It is a joy for me to be here this morning and to share with you out of the Word of God the love, the grace, and the mercy that he has and is still giving us each and every day. Let us open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy you still extend to us each and every minute of our lives. Father, we know that you have created us to serve you, not that life will be about us, but it is because of what you have done for us. You created us in your own image, and you want us to serve you wholeheartedly. Father, we want to thank you once again for this country and the freedoms that we can still enjoy, and even though it is restricted, Father, we can still so freely speak about you. We can tell others of the love that you have for us, and that Jesus, you came into this world and you gave your life upon the cross. You have paid for all our sins. If we only confess, if we only repent of our sins, you have freely forgiven us. And when we repent of our sins, they are forgiven. We are forgiven. Father, this morning we also want to lift up our government to you. We know the many struggles that they're facing, opposition all around them. It doesn't matter what they do or what they say. There is always someone that has something to say against it. Father, we pray that you would put a hedge of protection around them, that these pressures wouldn't discourage them, but that they would look to you, that your spirit would be there in their midst, and that they would look to you and be able to choose wisely what it is that you would have them to do in these times that we're going through, this COVID-19 that is basically across the whole world. Father, we see you speaking so loudly, but we also know that your word will never be restricted, even though people sometimes want to do that. But you tell us that it will go out and each one will have had a choice to choose you, whether they want to serve you or reject you, and we thank you for that. Father, your love for us is so great that you don't want to make us love you. We have that free will and that free choice. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word this morning, we pray that you would open it up to us, that we would be able to get a better understanding of where we are at in life and what it is that you want us to do. Lord, we pray for those that are maybe in care homes that are even more restricted than most of us that are out in the world, that would so much desire, so want to have their family with them, and they can't be with them in a special way. May your Holy Spirit just fill that void, and may they be encouraged to go on, not to give up, but to go on loving you. That they would be able to see, that they would be able to see through what they're going through at the moment and be able to choose you again. And for those that have never accepted you as their personal Savior, may your Spirit be with them and encamp around about them, and that they too would be able to choose life while there is yet time. And Lord, this morning I also want to pray for myself as you give me the words to speak, that I might speak them boldly, that there wouldn't be no fear of man, but much more that the fear would be in you. And that isn't being afraid, but speaking boldly what you lay upon my heart. We pray this all in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. I want to start off in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, where Paul greets the Ephesian church and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord." Sorry, in verse 2, he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." And in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Oh, the love that Jesus had for us when he came into this world. When Adam and Eve sinned, he promised a Savior, and Jesus came into this world, and he gave his life upon the cross. And as we have just read in this verse here, in verse 3, where he says, "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him." Before he even created this world, he thought of you and me. He knew what we would be going through and that he would be there for us. He would carry us. We never have to walk on our own. And yes, sometimes it feels as though we are alone. But many, many times when we feel so alone, we're living for him. We're doing what he has called us to do. And yet it feels so alone, and many of those times it is then when he is carrying us. And it is my prayer that as we tune into his word this morning, that we too would be encouraged and not to give up. We have come into a new year where the Lord has so richly blessed us through the last year, 2020, and having started this new year, I want to share a poem that I found. The title of this poem is "Let Us Seek God's Guidance Through the Year." And it is so important that we do that, that we search him and that we allow him to lead and guide us, even though there are all kinds of troubles around us. And the poem goes like this: "As the threatening clouds of chaos gather in man's muddled mind, while he searches for an answer he alone can never find, may God turn our vision skyward so that we can see above the gathering clouds of darkness and behold God's brightening love. For today we're facing problems man alone can never solve. For it takes much more than genius to determine and resolve the condition that confront us all around on every side, daily mounting in intensity like the restless rising tide. But we'll find new strength and wisdom if instead of proud resistance, we humbly call upon the Lord and seek divine assistance. For the Spirit can unravel many tangled, knotted threads that defy the skill and power of the world's best hands and heads. For the plans of growth and progress of which we all have dreamed cannot survive materially unless the spirit is redeemed. So as another new year dawns, let us seek the Lord in prayer and place our future hopes and plans securely in God's care." And that is also my wish and prayer, that as we have entered this new year, that we truly seek God's will in our everyday walk of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, there we read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And this verse many times comes to my mind, especially in the beginning of the year, where all things are new. When January 1st arrived, we had a clean slate. The year was good. The year was perfect before us. How do we want to spend this year? What do we want to see on that slate when December 31st comes around? And if we want to be in the will of God, we will have to have given our life completely over to Him and allowed Him to lead us and to guide us. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." And then in verse 6, he also says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And I want to come back to these verses a little bit later yet. I want to turn to the beginning of Proverbs chapter 2. And we want to go through Proverbs chapter 2. And then we'll go into 3 also, and probably maybe into, we'll see what time allows, but go into chapter 4. But Proverbs in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "My son," and I also want to put in there, "daughters," those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And he goes on and he says, "If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." If we just look into these first 5 verses in Proverbs chapter 2, he goes on and a number of times he says, if you will, if we will only listen, if we will only seek. So many people seek for riches in this world. We will find understanding. We will get understanding, and we will be able to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We will be able to be his hands and his feet. In verse 6, he continues, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." And there is only one way that we can achieve that, how we can get that wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And that is by having surrendered ourselves to him and allowing him to work through us. Verse 7, he says, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is the buckler to them that walketh uprightly." Again, he tells us here, who we are, what we will be when we have surrendered ourselves to them, to him. Verse 8, he says, "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." Oh, the promise that he has given us here, how he will keep us and how he will preserve us. There is nothing that will be able to take us away from him. In verse 9, he says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. We will be able to understand. In verse 10, he says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. So in verse 10 here, he says, when wisdom enters into our hearts, when we allow ourselves to be used of God, when we search his word, it is then that we will be able to choose wisely, as it says in verse 11, and we will be preserved. He will preserve us, and understanding shall keep us. We will be able to understand. We will be able to stand strong, even though we face temptations. And then in verse 12, he says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. The pressures of this world, to the pressures of this world, we will not give in because we have the understanding of Jesus Christ. Jesus never gave in to temptation, and he has given us the same strength. He says, the things that I did when I walked in this world, mightier things you will be able to do after I have gone back to heaven. But again, he says, it is up to us. He leaves that up to us. He doesn't make us follow him. In verse 13, he says, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth in her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. If we choose to follow unrighteousness, if we choose to follow the ways of this world, we will become, as it says here, as people who flatter to get attention, to try to get us to follow them, which will come to naught. And then in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, first of all, it says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Again, we're warned. We know that there is sin all around us. But as it says in this verse here, my son, if sinners entice thee, if there are things out in the world that look good, but we know that they go against the word of God, he says, don't allow them to entice you. Turn away, walk away from those things. In verse 15 in chapter 1, it says, my son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Again, we are warned to walk away. Don't even stand there and look at it to allow it to get you to fall. He says, turn away and walk away from it before you do fall. I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. He says, my son, forget not my law. Why is it so many times we are reminded not to forget if you follow? Because we are all born of a sin nature. And as we have just been reminded that there's sin all around us, and some of those things, they look so good. It looks as though people are enjoying it so much. They're having such a grand time. But it'll only get us it's only there to get us to fall away from the Word of God. And that is why we are reminded so many times, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And then a lot of many times when it tells us not to forget, it also encourages us to keep our hearts, to keep the commandments. In verse 2, it says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And then it goes on and he says, and you will find favor not only with God, but we will also have peace with the people that are around us. And then in verse 5, as I shared before already, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Here, first of all, he tells us to trust. But don't trust in yourselves. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if things don't make sense, if we know that this is where God wants us, we need to move forward. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall. If we give ourselves to him completely in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. In verse 7, he goes on, be not wise in thine own eyes. Again, don't depend on self. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So many times in my own life where I want to live for Christ and I fall short. And why is it? I probably don't put enough of my time into serving the Lord, into seeking what God wants me to do, but rather looking out into the world and seeing what the world has to offer. And then sometimes choosing to follow those ways. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In verse 8 he says, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And we know that living in this body, this earthly temple where God has placed his soul within us, the joys that we can have when our body is healthy, and as much as we need the bare marrow that is within our bones to be able to survive, when we look at people that have unhealthy marrow, how it destroys them, how it gets them down, how it gets them weak. That is the same thing that will happen when we follow the ways of this world. When we allow our eyes to search this world for strength rather than looking to the Lord. And not only that, but we also need to serve the Lord with what he has blessed us. The things that he has given us here in this world to use. He wants us to use those wisely, as we read in the next verse, in verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And then he also goes on, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. He doesn't want us to, first of all, do whatever we want to do in this world with what he has blessed us and then give back to him. But he wants us to give of our first fruits. First of all, when he has blessed us, he wants us to give it back to him. First of all, he asks us to give a tenth of what he has blessed us with back to the church. And many times he calls us to help others after that. And when we do that, he will be able to bless us. As we read in the next verse, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We will never fall short. I heard a speaker say one time that when he had accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he had read that he was to give a tenth of what he had, and he did that, and he started giving more and more and more. And I forget how far he had gone already. I do believe it was more than 50% that he gave back to the church. And he said his barns were always full. He was never short. And that is exactly where God wants us. He wants us to trust in him. He wants us to help out when we see a need. He wants us to help. And as we go through this year, as we have just started and we go through this year, let's also commit our ways to the Lord. Let's give of our first fruits and see how the Lord will bless us. And as we continue to give more and more, how he continues to bless till we will have so much. And many times it isn't just material things that he has given us, that he will give us. But it is the joy in serving him. How we will be able to go out and tell others of the love and the joy and the peace that we encounter, that we have serving him. But that is also up to us. We need to choose if we want that. And then in verse 11, he goes on and he says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. There are times, and as I mentioned already, of how we fall back, how we look at the ways of this world, and how the Lord needs to get our attention again, where he allows things to happen to us to slow us down, that we're able to take a good look at our lives and to see where it is at. He says, don't get weary in those times. In verse 12, he says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And we know that the Lord doesn't want the death of a sinner. He wants us, he wants each and every one of us to be with him in heaven. And that is why he does that to us. But there also comes a time when we reject correction. When we go our own way, that he will leave us alone. That the Holy Ghost that he has placed, that he has given us, that he has given to each and every one that have accepted him as our personal Savior, that have been baptized upon the confession of our faith, that Spirit will stop convicting us. And we are able to go our own way. He goes on in verse 12 here. He gives us an example. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. For those of us that have children, what a joy it is to see our children grow up. And how we want to protect them. They are innocent. Many, many times they walk straight into danger. a dangerous situation, and we do whatever we can to protect them, to keep them from getting hurt. That is the way God wants to protect us. In verse 13, he says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. If we find wisdom in God, if we get understanding, and we give ourselves over to God, if we seek his kingdom first instead of seeking wealth here in this world, he says we will be compared to the joy of serving Christ, seeking him, than seeking the riches of this world. Verse 15 says, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. It'll be as the tree of life. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, there was the tree of life. There was the tree of good and evil, which Adam and Eve ate from. And then there was also the tree of life that God didn't want them to eat from, that they would have to live in sin for all eternity. And that tree of life is in heaven. And if we have surrendered our life to him, if we do our utmost to live according to his will, we will be able to eat of that tree of life when God sees fit to call us away from this world. In verse 19, he goes on, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. The Lord by wisdom, he has created this earth. And because of his understanding, because he is almighty, he is all-knowing, he has also created, established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. When I read that verse, it reminds me of before the flood, the great flood, of how it never rained. There was dew that came upon the earth that watered the earth. And then when the people became so evil and God found favor in the eyes of Noah, he asked him to build the ark, and Noah did that. And after he had spent 120 years preaching the word of God, telling the people to repent of their sins, God allowed rain to come, which flooded the whole world. And all the people and all the animals drowned, except for Noah, his wife, and their children. If Jesus should come back today, who will he find faithful? Am I going to be in Noah's family who found grace in the eyes of the Lord? Are you going to be in that family? Are we going to be in the family of Jesus Christ? who said before he went to heaven that I will come again and receive you unto myself. We want to pray for our government. We know that here in Manitoba, we know the restrictions that we have and how we would like to get together and have church services and fellowship one with another. Go to work in peace, not having to wear the mask. And on January 8th, where the government wants to come out again and tell us, give us the decision that they have made. Friends, let's pray that as a nation, that as a country, that as people of Jesus Christ, that we are truly right with him. And that he would give us back that freedom. Why has he allowed this to come? I wholeheartedly believe it is because we are slowly falling away. And he doesn't want the death of a sinner. And again, he calls us back to him. As we see in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I think I'm in the wrong chapter. Where Jesus invites us to come to him. Where he tells us, he invites us, and for some reason I can't find those verses right now, but he tells us to come unto him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And then he tells us that he will give us rest for our souls. And we will have rest here in this life. But most of all, he's talking about peace after life here in this world. Peace for all eternity with him. And that is also my prayer for each and every one of us, that we might seek that peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this one more time this morning, and we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the government that we have. Father, we pray once again for them. Protect them, Lord, from the wiles of the devil. Protect them from the pressures of this world. Father, as they come out on January 8th to give us what they had, the decision that they have made on how we are to go forward, Father, I pray that as a nation that we would have humbled ourselves and that they would be able to choose to open up. That we would want to have fellowship one with another, which we need so desperately. Where there's so many that are in their homes that don't go out. And sometimes discouragement sets in. Father, we pray that it would be opened up and that we can once again encourage one another by being together as your fellow servants. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we go forward this year, that we might truly seek to serve you. As Joshua did when he was getting older, up in age, and his body wasn't well, he got the people before him and he told them what you had done for them. And then he told them that you choose how you want to live your lives. But he also said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And may that also be our choice. Father, we pray this all in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. For closing, I want to share with you the words which we find in Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. And go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.